Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Phil, I've heard that the bowl season's over. Is that right?
Might as well be.
I thought you were meant to peak at the end of the season, not the beginning. What?
Well, we didn't peak at the beginning either, I think.
How many in a row is that now?
We've lost a couple. Let's just say a couple, Rick.
A couple?
Yeah.
A couple is more than two.
Well, I know what you're going to say, because Saturday we lost by one shot, Rick, the bare minimum, which is our last bowl of the day, was basically.
Well, and it doesn't really matter. You lost.
I knew you'd say that. So anyway, that's the wood bill.
It certainly wasn't the last bowl of the day yesterday.
It was the last couple. 17 shots we lost yesterday.
A big one?
17, which is not much. Over five rinks. You know what a rink is. So
I thought I heard a story that they'd called in the carpenter to extend the scoreboard.
And did we get wet through? You think we got wet through at bloody Toorak yesterday? It was raining cats and dogs early.
You're joking.
Yeah, absolutely belting down.
Well, I've always heard that your side's not a good wet tracker. Is that right?
Not on the grass. I'll tell you what, we're picking up that much grass. But let's not harp on that.
What did the other side do? Were they playing on a different rink?
Saturday, we'll win the last three. There's a big call. We'll win the last three games on the Saturday.
Do you want me to write that down or what?
You can write whatever you you've heard it first.
I'm fascinated by all your bowls listeners for you to explain what brings on this conference.
Full side, all back from COVID. We got two back from COVID this week and the other chap that was out last week. So full strength.
Could you say that slowly? We will win the last three.
We will win the last three on the Saturday.
Would that still have you on the bottom of the ladder?
No, we're not bottom. We'll be in the four. You get this mixed up every week.
Did you
week.
Hear this, folks? They're going to make four.
We'll make the four. Okay, on to Barossa and Light Bowls this week. The first game is Newry defeated Lindock 97-79, which I tipped.
You did.
I did tip.
It's about time you got something right.
Something right. Got to be in a winner here somewhere. Sorry. Yedunda lost to Kapunda 62-104, so Kapunda easily, which I did tip. And Angaston beat Tanunda convincingly, 89-111. And Freeling defeated Mount Pleasant, who are bottom, 127-78, which leaves the ladder basically the same. Tanunda cannot make it now, so it's Angaston, Newry, Kapunda and Lindock will play the finals. 1 week to go up there, Rick. And this week, quickly, I'll go through this week's last round. Yedunda versus Angaston, which I'll tip Angaston easily. Lindock and Tanunda, which I'll tip Lindock.
Ooh.
Mount Pleasant and Newry. Mount Pleasant did beat Newry early in the year,
they
but
did.
They won't beat them this week. And Kapunda will beat Freeling. And that's the last of the tips for the year. Should be 4 out of 4 again, Rick.
If only you could bowl as well as your tips.
Going along nicely. But,
While we're on the bowls.
Oh, I thought we were finished.
No, his wife called out to him, "Have you seen the dog bowl?" He said, "I didn't know he could play."
I might just get his number. You got his number?
Yeah.
He could be a handy fill-in for us next week.
It's a bit like the story about the horse out batting.
<That's>
refused to run, and his runner said, "If I could run, I'd be at Flemington."
I think we've used that one. That was a ripper. I loved it. But, that's a beauty. All right, look, we'll leave the bowls. That's probably about it.
Yep.
So we'll win this week.
You've said that about five times.
I think we'll get relegated in the midweek. I really do. So I'll make that call now.
All right.
We really needed to win yesterday and we didn't. Got a couple of harder games to go and so we might struggle. But Saturday we will play finals. So there's a big call.
In advance for all our listeners, I apologise if there's not a show next week when Phil's prediction of having won goes out the window.
I'll be home ripping my fingernails off.
So
the Bros like cricket.
Yeah, there's a bit more excitement there, I think, isn't there?
I think so. Well, I hope so. First game last week was finished up. Grinnock 154, Tanunda 8 for 193.
Yep.
I see Bo Wall made 85 for Tanunda.
Yes.
Canbat. And then Grenoble, sorry, 5 for 82 in a second dig. So, and young Mitch Boshin took 4 for 8, so he can, he's quite quick, isn't he?
Oh, he's quite a good bowler.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my dubious doubts about performances in second innings when there's nothing much on the game.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they chose to play on because the rules actually state, which is rather interesting.
Oh,
that
I if heard you had a little bit of a
just a discussion with a rooster and the Burgee. But the rules actually read, which of course are open to some degree of interpretation.
Especially when you're putting them down.
I didn't write the rules at all. But the rule basically, in layman's terms, suggests that the game can be called off if there is no likelihood of a further result. So, cutting to the chase, the Rooster wanted to have a bit of batting practice for some of his blokes. Yep. Now, the Lindock mob, which was within their rights, the game had been decided and they weren't really all that interested. And the reality is that there could be no further result, an outright decision, given that there were only 20 overs stipulated to play, which, and I suggested to Rooster, well, listen, for the game to go on, you would have to promise to declare.
Yep.
Now, even if he'd done, which he wasn't prepared to do, so he suggested it was time to go and have a beer.
But, yeah, I was going to say, but, you'd be at 4 beers down in 20 overs, wouldn't
but it? But the thing is that that would have become even a greater mockery because if they had, say, gone out and batted for 7, 8, whatever, there's 3 overs lost for the next changeover. Yep. So the 20 overs left is reduced to 17.
Yep.
And anyway, so common sense prevailed and the game was called off.
But
it is a little bit greyish in area, that rule.
You. Okay, so the next game, Lindock, you just keep hitting that.
Yep.
Lindock, 150, lost to Sandy Creek, 2-1-3.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. Really, it looked as though for a little while, I think I said on the show last week, that if Lindock simply batted all day...
No, obviously, Burgee didn't get going.
Burgee's not in good nick, actually, as far as form goes. Yep. He seems to have lost some of his scoring skills, as it were. But then again, cricket's a game of confidence. If he was to go out and make a...
So is bowls, I can tell you that.
You know, I mean, if he went out and hit the ball straight in the middle for 20 runs, he probably all would be back to his very best. Yep. But
So Hankey made 84.
Oh, yes, he made that.
Robinson for Lindock made 46.
Yes, he batted very well. But they were... Once Robinson was out, there was basically... it was a matter of how long it was going to take for Sandy to bowl them out, and which is what they did.
So the next game, Malala beat Angaston, Rick.
Upset of the
157 to 150.
Yeah.
Montgomery made 50 for Malala, and Bainey, old mate Bainey, made 53 for had a good year.
Yeah.
53 for Angaston. So
An upset there. Well, it's an upset, but I tell you what, and not that I've got anything invested interest with Angaston, but it's always it doesn't matter whether you talk about Church standard netball to AFL football. The problem with going through a season undefeated is there's only one thing that can happen. And so I actually think it may have taken a little bit of pressure off Angaston, having gone through until last weekend undefeated, to have lost one. It doesn't do them any harm. They're so far ahead at the top of the table. And so, it's a great confidence booster for Tanunda. It also proves that anyone can beat anyone on any day. But I don't think Angaston will lose a lot of sleep.
Light. Next game quickly. Light pass 157. South Gawler 152. Close game there, Rick.
It is. Yeah. South. South, compared with a couple of years ago, have lost a lot of players.
Yep.
But they're not the side they used to be.
Yep.
And they've struggled a little bit. I mean, they're just in the middle of the pack.
Like, yeah, that's right.
Lots of the others.
And Kay made 30 for light pass, and Andrew made 27 for South. Quickly. This next game must have been a humdinger ring-dinger. Newry 64, Gilbert Valley 67, and then Newry were 2 for 56. and Gilbert Valley only made 49 in their second
league. Yeah, there is a gulf in standard difference, but why the results in the first innings were what they were, and then obviously there was an outright victory and the game Newry won outright, having been behind more on the first innings. Oh yes, they get points.
Yeah, more points.
They get the same number of points for winning outright as if you'd won on the first innings.
Yep.
See, they lost on the first innings.
Yep.
But for a side to be bowled out for 49, and I'm not, maybe it was just that Newry bowled amazingly well, but you'd have to think that, you know, for 49, you'd wonder how hard, seriously, some of those batters had performed to be all out for 49. Anyway, of course, it was just what the Newry, doctor ordered. Yeah. Well, Newry would not be in the top four now if that hadn't occurred.
Which I'll go into now, Rick.
Phil, with your preparation, you're all over.
Angaston 75, as we said, they could add a couple of weeks off just to...
Exactly.
Sandy Creek's on 60, Tanunda on 60, Newry on 50, there's your top four.
Correct.
Lindock 45, Grunock 45, and you said Malalar, who I didn't have written down, a 45.
Yeah, well, I think the table had some confusion because Angaston and Malalar had only had points given to round seven.
Yep.
Now, it doesn't matter, as we've discussed, Ango are so far ahead, but Malalar beating them, according to my calculations, and correct, you know, time will tell if I'm wrong, they are also on 45. So what we've really got is Lindock, Grenock and Malalar all on 45. Now, that is only half a game ahead of Newry.
Yep.
Last round, if Newry beat Light Pass...
Which they should...
Game over. It would not matter what else happens because they would go to 60 points. But if some strange occurrence happened and Newry were to lose, then all of a sudden the Lindock Tanunda game and the Malalar Sandy Creek game come into significance because, for instance, if Lindock, who are on 45, were to beat Tanunda, they would go to 55. Bear in mind that if Newry lost, they're only on 50. And the same would apply if Malalar were to beat Sandy Creek. They would also go to 55. So those two games could be significant. However, if Newry win, which I would expect they would, and what more incentive do they need to win? The four is then settled.
Yeah.
Angus, the four, if all goes as I would expect, the four will be Angaston, Sandy Creek, Tanunda, and Newry.
And one plays four, two plays three. I think that's correct.
That is correct. That'll be a good go. If that's what happens, Sandy Creek v Tanunda will be a ripper.
Yep.
We don't know yet. So there you go. Yep. While we are, so how's that? That's the local cricket
that
covered,
is the local cricket brought to you by Chris Gers.
Now, Phil, I've got a quick question, right? Without notice. Now, I'll be a little surprised if you get it right.
Okay, you try. Right? Look, I'm pretty intelligent, though.
Well, I know that. You and numbers are something really significant. See if you can tell me the common denominator.
Yep.
Between the numbers 2, 24, 16, and 0.
You're going to get a surprise with this, Rick.
You've got no idea. Well, look, I'll explain it to you.
Okay.
It's been 2 years, 24 months, 16 Sheffield Shield games, and no wins for the mighty South Australian Redbacks. How bad is that statistic, eh? 2 years, 24 months, 16 games now, and no victories.
No wonder Dizzy didn't want the Australian job. He's got a lot of work to do at South Australia.
Well, he said he's enjoying it.
Yeah, he's enjoying it.
He's a bit like the bloke who beats his head against the wall, surely. He must be fun when he stops.
Wow.
Hey, isn't that?
Oh,
this was the bloke who was going to turn them around. The only problem is he might have turned them around the 360 and they're still pointing in the same direction. What do you reckon?
Poor old Dizzy, eh? He's loving it there, though. Well, he loves that job.
I mean, the interesting thing is, and we are not going to have time, but half, you know, the some people suggest that the whole problem with the lack of success stems from Premier cricket and and its standard. Now, I don't know about the standard of batting and bowling per se, but I do know if you take this round that's just completed, have a listen to this. Kensington, 290. Glenelg, 3 declared for 368. Uni, 2 declared for 377. Oh, Adelaide, 9 declared for 406.
No.
Sturt, 5 for 407. And in reply, East Torrens 323, Southern Districts 242, Northern Districts 279.
Now, that's more runs than the Redbacks make in a year, some of those scores.
It is. And I didn't realise that the Karen Rolton Road extended as far as the Port Reserve, the Campbelltown Oval, the University Oval, the Glandore Oval, the Prospect Oval, and the Price Oval. Now, that is not a game of cricket
when
you have got
the poor
tracks.
Old bowlers.
Well, I was speaking to a fellow former state cricketer as recently as last night, and he went out to East Torrens and he wandered out onto the pitch during a break, and he thought that he was standing on the bitumen road outside of this house.
Really?
They are roads. And whether one likes to admit it or not, the fact that they're scoring runs to that extent, they are roads.
Mm.
So there's nothing in it for the bowlers. There's nothing in it really for the batters because they can stand there and slog.
Yeah. It's not playing on a hard pitch, is it? Like just, coming up at you
So anyway, there is one of you. I mean, we criticise Karen Rolton Oval and Adelaide Oval for being batter-friendly.
Mm.
Well, they're almost like bowler-friendly compared with, obviously, these Premier League tracks that they produce. Now, whether it's groundsmen's egos or not, but that is not producing a proper game of cricket and a proper, more importantly, a proper competition between bat and ball to produce top-quality cricketers. End of story, really. And so they can import like they have. Do you know in that game, that the Shield game against Victoria, which we drew, which we aren't going to have a lot of time to talk about.
No, we're not.
6 of the 11 players for South Australia are all imports.
I mean, that's where we're going wrong, isn't it?
Well, you know, we're not even importing good imports.
No, second-rate. Other state players, basically.
But anyway, I will just, having said, the Redbacks, they had all day to win that game. They've got Victoria 2 for 7. Will Pekoski concussed
3 for 7
with the proverbial soccer ball in warm-up before the game. So they're 3 for 7 and they couldn't bowl them out.
Well, they put Hanscom into form, him into form.
I mean, isn't that that's a wonderful performance. 148, I think it was, not out. He's batted throughout. In actual fact, they say that, they only just saved the loss.
Mm-hmm.
They only just nearly got the victory. I mean, they're only 90 runs behind the South Australian attack had everything to gain. And Will's shown the way. A magnificent innings. That's the sort of innings.
No, not Will.
Hanscom. Yep. That's the sort of innings that proves you can play.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Quickly, before Victoria went home, they obviously played another Marsh Cup game.
Yeah, and we lost that too.
We lost that 7 for 259 and 5 for 262 were Victoria. Quickly running through, Lehman made 49. Lehman, there's a name from the past, Jake Lehman.
We won't mention it.
McSweeney, whoever he is, 53, and Liam Scott, 42, not out. But we played Marcus Harris into form. Yeah. He made 102 not out.
First century he's made since memory.
Hanscom made another 45 and Harvey made 61. Lloydie Pope, Three for 51, the great spinner Lloyd.
Well, of course, he got those in the last...
He must have bought them.
Well, well, he did. And the other thing that's quite intriguing is that they've... Victoria have chased down... And, you know, normally these one-day games, yeah. you win, you know, yeah. you got five balls left or something. Yeah. They've had about 10 overs. They've so comfortably done it. And how... I mean, it shows... what the quality of a bloke like Hans... Well, it shows one of two things, the quality of a Hanscom or the poor quality of the Redbacks.
Right, a bit of both, I think.
You know, 4 days earlier, he's batted all day to make 140, yeah. and then he can go out and make runs in a one-dayer hitting the ball. Maybe yeah. we should invite him over to be the... He could be the playing coach.
We got dizzy. quickly, Australia playing Sri Lanka in a... Who cares? I tell you what, some of those Australian... Inglis, and they've got some names in there that, you know...
Well, Inglis is the standby wicket
keeper. Yeah, I've got that. So he played. So we're 3-0 up on them, but, yeah, I mean, well, crowd, Rick.
Well, I realise that you can afford to have pay TV, but for most of the peasantry around, including myself, we can't afford that. And I don't think most people don't even know it's on.
Yeah. Most people don't care it's
well,
on.
That's right. It's not on free-to-air.
No,
so,
it's not.
Fox.
I think it's another game tonight. So.
Oh, gee. Yeah. Oh, well, we'd better going finish this so I can turn it on and warm it up. Well,
way over time,
we are indeed. Well, until next week, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.